Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is that time of the week again. It is time for Auto Central, proudly powered by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace in Orkney Potato States. Am I joined in studio?
I was almost here ahead of you.
Actually, technically you were. You were in the studio before me, but you interrupted the previous show.
I was like, don't touch the door. Oops, too late. I thought you guys were sitting here waiting for me.
No. You just made it. We're sitting outside. We're waiting. You know, it's the football show. We're listening to these guys going crazy and, you know.
I'm bolting past
George just sits there and says, I think that was Ville-Marie that just popped into the studio. So, of course, joined by SA Speed Queen, Ville-Marie Janssen van Rensburg. Welcome.
Thank you. Lived up to my name today.
Yes, there we go. Net potatoes. And of course, George Minnie.
Hello, Chad.
How are we doing?
Good, and you?
All good. Thanks. Yeah, it's been a busy couple of weeks enjoyed the downtime last week. We had a bit of a repeat going last week.
Yeah.
We were going to come in, but sadly we couldn't grace you with our presence.
Yeah, because you were ill.
I was a little
I
man
to
down.
Say that?
Well, I'll take it. Yeah, no, and it's not something that happens really often. You know,
and a strange time of the year, though.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was exactly, you know, like a virus or flu related. I think it was just fatigue. A lot of fatigue. It's been a little bit of stress and strain.
George, is it work-related?
Ah, it must be work-related.
Many things. You know, there's many things that attribute to this.
Makes you stronger.
I've had medical aid for probably 10 years, if not more, on my own, you know. When you eventually get kicked off your parents'. I was already living on my own in that, but I was still like, hey, Mom, how you doing about that medical aid? You know, and then there gets a certain age that you got that cut off and you can't be on your, you know,
really?
as a dependent. Yeah, I think it's 25 or 26 years old, somewhere around there.
Did
yeah.
you wait until 25?
Of course!
I would have.
Yeah, hello! I'd still be living with Mom if it was still up to me.
Oh, my word! I think it's mostly guys. Were you like that, George?
I moved out of my parents' place when I was 24.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys know how old I was?
Sort of I don't know, 18.
16.
Checking the
and a silence falls over the crowd as we decide whether this is PC to carry on or not.
Oh my word, is it a guy thing?
No, I think it's just, yes, I love my mother and my father. So, you know, I've got no
I
problems.
I also love my mother.
I don't know if it's a guy or a girl thing. I think it's a cost thing. You know, you can save more money when you live with your parents.
And then you buy your cars or you buy.
Yes, and then you spend the money on other stuff. So, you know, that's probably the thing.
But in any case, long story short, I've had my medical aid for over 10 years. I don't know how to claim. I've never used it.
Oh, well, I can show you.
I've been paying these people for, 10 years. I've given them...
You must have one massive savings account.
But well, they should pay you back if you don't claim.
Not on one of these savings
accounts. Just a hospital plan.
It's like a hospital plan, you know. I eventually downgraded to that because I was saying, there's no point in me having full cover.
Because you're never sick.
I'm not using it. I'm not going to dentists and optometrists and that sort of stuff. If I do have the sniffles, I sort myself out with a handful of over-the-counter meds and we're good to go.
Yeah.
Sadly, yeah. So those grudge purchases, like car insurance, and you do need it. And you sit there and you think that, yes, I can get away with it. I haven't had an accident in how long? Mm-hmm. I don't need to. I haven't even had a chipped windscreen or a flat tire in 4 or 5 years. Why am I still paying this insurance? Let me cut it back. Let me just do third party or something of the sort. And Struesbob, it's as soon as you drop it.
That's a
Or you cancel
Murphy
it. Then you cancel it. You need it.
Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
So really don't. It's car insurance is one of those things that I will pay through no matter thick or thin. Car insurance, as I'm out there, I cannot afford to replace somebody else's car.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's more about that other person's property than it is about your own.
I want to make sure, first and foremost, that the other person's property is covered. You know, if I sit there with a dented, dinged car, I can live with it, you know.
Yeah.
It may not be my fault, but if it's not my fault, then hey.
I can't.
I hope that his insurance pays for it. But
it's like a skew window.
Really, eh?
Anything that hangs skew. A dent is like, my eye goes straight.
Well, I'll tell you what, on my car... about 2 or 3 months ago. I haven't had it fixed yet. Somebody must have gone into the side of my car with a trolley. You won't see it. And I mean, now that I've told you, you'll probably walk outside and look for it.
Yeah, look for it, yeah.
But there is this little thing on the passenger door on the bottom. And
they'll walk past like they did nothing.
No, well, yeah, it must have been a trolley because it's on the fold of the door.
On the crease line.
Yeah. So you have to have ding it really hard to get a dent in it. And I just think to myself, who would have done this?
You don't think it was another bucky or something next to you that just opened up a door?
Maybe.
Because I mean, if it's on the crease.
You should have a look at it when you go outside, but you won't see it. But I notice it every single freaking time. Mm. You know.
I was sitting in my car once and a lady opened her door. And it wouldn't open further because it was against my car. And she just kept opening it. So I'm like, woman, what is wrong with you? She's like, what? People, if you're one of those door bashers, really, really go for counseling.
No.
Honestly.
You know what I do now?
Go live in a rural area somewhere where there are no parking lots.
It drives my fiancé nuts. I'll go and park.
Double park.
I'll go park far away.
I do both.
And
there's a special place in hell for your kind as well. Okay.
But I do it where people don't want to park because they don't want to walk so far.
Until the mall gets busy and the shop's open.
And then you come out of the center and what would you see?
Someone parked next to you.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like an attraction. You know, it's like, oh, there's a car. Let's go park next to it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, you were saying, yes.
About the dent.
Yeah, no, you were going somewhere.
No, I wasn't. I was picking up on Volmery's, I think, dent comment. So, yeah, but anyway, this dent's so annoying. We were talking about insurance. Mm. This dent is so annoying. But to have my car in the panel beater for
2 weeks at least,
whatever, to fix this little dent.
2 weeks.
And then I think, okay, do you get dent doctor? Because they can push out small dents.
Yeah.
But now they've got to take the inner door panel. Yeah. They've got to start pulling stuff apart, and I'm like, okay, do I live with a dent, or do I live with some rattles, and something doesn't fit back properly, or they don't put a screw, and they've got extra parts left over, and
because it seldom goes back the way it's
manufactured. Yeah, exactly.
Sadly, it's just one of those facts, you know. Even the best, some of the best panel beaters and body repair centers out there still get it wrong. Yeah. You know, it's almost impossible. They do a good job, but you can't be guaranteed.
You can't. I mean, that thing was put together in the factory by the professionals, and then the heat changes the metal, expands and contracts the metal, expands and contracts the panels.
So the solution?
So I don't know what the solution is. It's still on the door.
Little Dean, sell your car.
No.
No, I think that's a little drastic. That is just a little drastic.
That's almost me, I must be honest.
But you know what? I watched this YouTube video a little while ago talking about dents.
Mm.
This little YouTube video where if you've got a dent in the metal, and it can't be on a fold like that.
Yeah.
In a flat piece of metal on the car or a bumper, is you freeze it with spray.
Yeah, and like a liquid nitrogen.
Like a liquid nitrogen or something. Yeah. I'll look for the video and I'll put it on Twitter. You freeze it, and then you take a lady's hairdryer, and you heat it up.
So it pops out.
And that contraction contracts it, and then as the hairdryer heats it up, it expands, and then the dent just pops out.
It's a similar method that the guys like Dent Doctor, for example, that they use.
Yeah.
I've also heard it's like you don't have to always take panels off. They sometimes use that heat and cold thing or whatever, a special tool that sucks it out.
Mm. Yeah. So there are other ways to pull dents out, and I'll try and dig it up and post the link.
There's certainly various ways to go about it. You know, it doesn't always have to be a full spray. But I mean, you were sitting there and saying 2 weeks ago or 2 weeks, you know, in the panel shop. Something that I've figured out, and largely about the South African motor industry and the service side of things, whatever time frame they give you,
times about 3 or 4.
Plus, then they don't give you an interim car.
Certain insurance policies, back to the insurance, certain policies will have
but
that.
But only
as,
for a period.
That's also, hey? It's also true.
Only for a short period, because that happened to me when someone else's kid reversed the golf cart into the side of my car.
Oh, goodness.
So this was quite an ordeal to fix, but he denied it, you know, after the 16th time he admitted it, and then the car had to go in. And I think it was 2 weeks. It was just over 2 weeks it took them to. And the insurance just only covered it for about, I think, 14 days or something.
Yeah.
So I suppose the massive problem is the inconvenience.
Correct.
It probably costs you more. Yeah.
Plus, you drive an A-grade car and they give you a D.
I mean, I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with whatever, as long as I can get around. But if it's only for half the time, that's a problem.
You know, when you know it's a temporary solution, then you can
You
sit
can
there
live
and say,
with it.
Yeah, I'm going to live with, just, okay.
Autos.
Driving a little. I'm not going to mention.
Nothing wrong with Autos.
No, I'm just saying when you go from.
I'm going to downgrade a little bit, just for this little while my
Range
A-grade gets repaired. As long as you've got that transport, because it's a massive inconvenience. And sadly, we don't have that public transport structure in South Africa to sit there and say, okay, well, I mean, it's feasible. Let me send the car in and, I can use public transport for the 2 weeks that it's going to take. Sadly, you're stuck without a car. You're properly stuck.
I mean, tweet us on what you think, but maybe insurance companies should start thinking about,
linking with
Uber.
Or something.
No,
or
Uber.
True, right?
Because you could. I mean, the main things you need is get work and back, and obviously, if it's driving to Durban, it's a different thing.
Going to pick up the car again.
Yeah, it's like it's extra work for them. I mean, how there's plenty work all the time for Uber, but. With panel beaters.
Yes.
Come on, all the time.
Yes. So.
Start your own type of Uber.
Is this actually going to be a problem?
What?
I mean, as we sit here, and let's go back a couple of shows and let's think about the car sharing side of things and the way that things are changing, that we're actually moving away from car ownership. Do you think that the problems that we're lamenting here now are actually going to be long-term problems? For a while, but I think that after a while it's going to be, terribly, terribly sorry it's dinged. I lose my deposit on that one, or there's a fine to pay on it. Move on to the next car. It's not actually your car. You're not having to take the insurance out on it.
Youngsters more and more, I don't think, care too much about the brand of car. They just want to get from A to B. They care more about their mobile phones.
Fact.
True.
Fact.
It's actually very true. I think it's more us.
this is slightly older, more mature. The slightly more mature crowds out there.
But it's like what I enjoy. I mean, coming from the farm car driving back into the
farm
nice
car driving
sporty. No, it was so lovely this morning again.
You were back in the
back in the Audi.
You're back in the Audi.
Appreciating it. So it's like, oh, this is good.
Okay, so the runaround, can we say?
Yeah.
Okay. You got a Tucson. You're running the Tucson now, and it's serving pretty well, I believe.
It's
great. You're actually enjoying it, and it's doing as advertised, pretty much.
It really is a lovely car. It's got, I think, one little rattle. It's the mirror. And then I figured out that it shows north, east, west, south, the mirror. So it wasn't such a simple thing to take off, because I thought this thing rattles. I'm going to take this mirror off. And then I realized I can't. Other than that, fabulous.
Because it's got the compass in it, yeah.
And no, it's a serious dirt road.
That's it. I mean, you're saying that you've got a healthy length that you need to drive now. So, it must be quite a change hopping back into the Audi and having the power underfoot, having the comfort, the convenience.
The biggest thing this morning was when I stepped on the brakes.
And it actually stopped. go.
Almost went through the window. I was like, okay, I'm back in the Audi.
Back in the Audi in there. But now you've also been doing you recently did your license.
Well, now. Code 14.
Code 14. Now, is it still called a code 14?
Well, that's just, so motorbike is a code. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Could you believe you have me there?
Yeah.
Oh. A.
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 Yes.
A.
Oh, they change it. Because it used to be a different.
Yes. Okay. It's called an A.
That's right. Yeah. That's A license. I'm also sitting here. I'm racking my brain. I'm like, good grief. What are the codes now? Because you just mentioned 14 and
because
that's the old system.
Car is code 8. What is it called now?
B.
It's called B.
That's
okay.
Your B and
that's what you were asking. 14 is E.
And EC.
Yes, EC.
Oh, here comes the
You
license.
Know what? Yeah, it's on the back of our licenses.
You're right.
Why are we sitting? This thing gets removed so much in airports that it's not even funny.
Actually,
all right, there we go.
One?
You got EB, which is your car and trailer. Your EC1, which is...
car and trailer.
Yeah, or car and caravan. Car and caravan.
Because a normal E license can tow a trailer, right?
No.
Not?
No.
Yes, up to 750 kilograms.
No, but remember, who's going to weigh that?
Oh, no, they should, but they don't.
But it's got the tear values on the trailer itself.
Let me tell you something. I have had hands full because I always tow trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And it was up to a point. It was fine. It's now people must check because the licenses are changing with towing cars and trailers. You won't necessarily get away with the argument of the weight anymore. I promise you.
How many axles were on your trailer?
No, it's one.
Single axle. Because I could understand like a car trailer that's a double axle, yeah. You know, and then it's sitting with a ton of car on it.
Yes,
no,
normal bike trailer, single axle, and they gave me a hard time. So you must make sure that when you go and get your learners, for example, already, that you sign up for, if you go for your car, make sure you specify car and trailer, whether you can tow a trailer yet or not.
But then don't you have to be tested?
No.
No.
It's a paper thing.
Wow. Because, I mean, to reverse a trailer, let me tell you.
It's a challenge.
It takes some concentration. Not just anybody can do it. So, you know, I'm surprised you don't have to be tested on it.
Mm. Try the Code 14 trailer.
Well, tell us about your Code 14.
Yeah,
what's a DEF?
No, that's now EC.
EC.
Yeah,
okay.
EC license, yeah. Which is also a bus with trailer.
Well, firstly, I was the only, if I can say it, well, it's the reality. I went to Benoni. I was the only white girl there, so to school. So everyone's like, what are you doing here? So the instructor, first of all, what is it that you're doing? Well, what are you coming to? And I said, Code 14. He's like, why? So I thought, you know, now it gets complicated.
Yeah,
let me
because
just say,
I want to?
Yes.
How does that sound? Does that work for you?
I need to, like, use it on the farm. That's all I said. So like, okay, let's go.
And had you done training up to then, obviously?
Well, can I give you the whole story now? Okay. My test was the Friday. It was going to, my learners was expiring the Sunday. So I have been trying the last 6 months but obviously not hard enough to just start training. I wanted to and get with the right school. And this is very important because this is where the tricky bit comes in. Because you do have to go for training. This is not just summer,
yeah.
You know. Find an academy and do it with them. And so I was looking for the right person to do it with because now I actually should have all the connections. You know, I'm in the game, been in it 11 years and the whole thing. But I wanted to work with someone reputable and reliable and the whole thing and a truck that's decent, etc. So I neglected to do it the last 6 months. So I woke up like 3 weeks ago and I'm like, oh, it's going to expire. Let me do it now. So I managed to get hold of someone who was referred by someone, you know, type of thing. It's like, okay, cool. So I met up with him. I said, can we do this? We don't have time for anything more than 2 lessons. Now,
when last did you have you driven one?
Never.
Oh, jeebus.
You'd only done the paperwork.
I've only done the paperwork. Paper. The learners, okay. So, but I have been reversing normal trailers for like 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay, so it can't be that difficult.
So you've got the principle. Like the geometry and
yes.
The, you know, the
look,
coordination down for it.
Look, possibly. I get it. I get the principle of it. I can reverse trailers into spots where you would think, huh? Okay, so I understand that concept a bit, but there is a huge difference though. The normal trailer responds instantly. This trailer is like whatever you put in now, just keep going 2 seconds and then it only starts responding.
Oh, wow.
So when it doesn't respond, you start correcting the other way. Now you're messing up completely. You know what I mean? So if you don't get the training, that's kind of what's going to happen. So eventually, I'll go for my first lesson, which was the Wednesday. So now my second lesson was going to be the Friday before the actual test. So that was it. That's all we had time for. So when I got there the Wednesday, I got a frantic phone call that my cat's been bitten or spitting cobra.
Oh my goodness.
They spit. So I'm like, I'm cutting this training short. Sorry, got to go. The 20 minutes, I'm off because I was hysterical. It's my baby, you know. So there I missed half a lesson.
That's not helping it any, is it?
No, and the bit that I did do was just forward and backwards. And he was telling me exactly what to do, but he was a terrible instructor. He was really...
That's not saying much for your friend of a friend who referred it to
no,
you.
No,
know,
but that's why I'm not saying names, because I won't refer anyone there.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
You're not even going to serve as a warning, thanks.
No, but you know what? This is a scary part, because we must get back to this in terms of academies. This is and people that you go to for car training, bike training, truck training. This is like this is where people get screwed. I'm sorry. There's no other way to say that nicely. Anyway, went back the Friday morning, got there bright and early, but not early enough so I could do it before the yard. The they call it the yard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The yard opens a certain time, and if you don't get there half an hour before, I couldn't practice. So all I could do was watch the guys in front of me. Mine was at 1 o'clock to see exactly where in the yard we must go. And we walked it once. Okay. Fortunately in racing, I've now learned to visualize. So I was visualizing where this exam was going. This practical. Then he took me out to a different place just to go practice the incline pullaways, the reverse, because it's a incline pullaway over, straighten up, reverse straight back. Then you got to turn very sharp left, straighten out your truck, and then you got to reverse like a 90 degree reverse. What do they call it?
Parallel.
Like an alley dock.
Alley dock, yeah.
With this huge trailer. Okay. Cool. So, and you get one attempt. I mean, you get, if you
just one,
if you struggle with one, you get one more.
Okay. So, okay. You get a, you get
the same as a car, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you touch something you shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because then it's game over.
Then it's game over. Yeah. Okay. So, and then literally 5 minutes before my test, they told me this is your pre-trip inspection. So I don't know. Do you know what that is? Do you guys know?
Yeah, but I'm sure it must be quite intense on something like this, you know, for your EC license.
Fortunately, I understand the language, the basic language, because of the bike side of it all these years. You know, there's a basic term that you can use. It's safe, secure, and not damaged. Okay. So if you can see it, touch it, and say that. So here and there, you'll have tire tread is legal. You have lights are not broken. You know, reflector tape is working. You know, it's not torn.
Yes.
So it's really very basic terms.
A little bit of logic as
well. It's logic. Yeah. It really is. Touch it and see it. And so it's basically risk assessment. You just got to be able to mention the stuff that's relevant. So inside, you'll be talking about, no obstructions on the dashboard, no obstructions underneath here by your feet and that, you know. Mm. Gear levers working, indicators working, lights working, you know, those kind of things. Yeah. Safe, secure, not damaged. Nothing's cracked, windscreen's not cracked, those kind of things. But this was 5 minutes before my test. Mm. I'm like, it's information overload.
And it's not something that your instructor actually went over with you, is it?
5 minutes before my test. That's why I said to you, I'm not referring anyone.
Yeah. No. Okay. Enough said.
So this was tough. And I just, the whole time I was taking in, thinking, okay, I got to do this. And the instructor seemed lovely. Then, but he failed.
Is that sarcasm? Because I detected a hint of sarcasm.
He seemed lovely.
There we go.
Until a certain point. And this is what, it's daunting for people to do these kind of things. I mean, I've been doing it. Training for so long, and even for me, eventually I wanted to hit him while we were in the truck, you know, because they really try and push you to stress.
Yeah,
that's their aim. They really do. So I mean, eventually, and they were failing guys in the yard, so they don't even take you out.
Oh.
So now we went out. So he's like, fortunately, I passed the yard. Okay, let's go. So now we go out. Then we get to a section where there's like a four-way stop.
Yeah.
So I'm saying this to people. Tell me, George, what would you have done? Now we get to a four-way stop. There's no cars. Okay. So now I've got to turn.
People, I would have just used the car principles initially. So, you know, stop, do all the
inspection checks, safe, and then go.
And then go. Yeah.
But what happens now is a truck like this has to use the opposite lane when you turn.
Yes.
Otherwise, you are going to go over the pavement
because the trailer's so long.
The trailer's very long. So people in cars, come on, give the guys in the trucks a break, because they don't. When they see a truck, they go, let me squeeze in quickly in front of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm already through the four-way stop turning. Here comes this car speeding up. I need to miss him, so I got to turn sharper. So now I see, my wheels are going to touch. Yeah. Okay.
And
so
that's going to be.
And this is, it could be a fail. So he's checking literally like this, hanging out the window to see if I'm touching. But I'm going so slow, you can't even feel or hear it, but it touches the pavement and it's like off. And he goes, he goes ballistic in the truck. He's like, you can't do that. So I'm like, what do you want me to do? You know, I couldn't take the car out. But nowhere did he ever not feel safe, you know what I mean? But now this is little logistical things in the truck.
Technicalities
that people in cars don't realize. Even when you squeeze in quickly in front of the stop street or the robot, we can't stop as quick.
Yeah.
And if you have to turn, it can really mess up things. So then he says, you got to wait till it's clear. So I'm like, have you been to Joburg? Some of those four-way stops are never going to be clear.
Yeah.
So when do you... You can't just wait till it's clear. Sometimes you've got to go. So people have to be more considerate.
Mm.
So here we are having a full-on debate in the truck, me and this instructor. Eventually we're like, let's just not talk anymore.
Did he pass you?
Eventually he passed me. Okay. But now after this, I'm thinking, normally just keep quiet, keep a good attitude, because he could maybe still be marking me. Because I thought, by now I'm thinking he failed me.
Yeah.
He's failed me. It's over.
Yeah, that's it. Game over.
It's game over. But it took everything in me just to keep my positive attitude, and I just kept quiet and kept driving, and he would say left and he would say right, and eventually we stop and he's like, I'm waiting for him to say you can go home. He's like, follow me. But also only says what's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, sit down, come for your photo. So I'm like, when am I going to know if I passed or failed? Yeah. You know, and then I test. You pass, go pay. So this was one of
A way to leave you hanging on. I mean, that must have been super stressful.
It was so stressful.
Yeah, I can't remember when last I've been to the licensing department. When did you get your license, Chad?
99. I was 18 at the time.
Yeah.
The 9th of September, 1999.
Ah.
9/9/99.
Wow.
That's my mom's birthday.
Ah. She was born in 1999.
No, day September. But I got to tell you, the problem here is you gotta go, when you go for training, to training academies, firstly, don't go for less than 5 lessons. Okay. We want to be cheap about it. But for me, it was not that. It was a time thing. It really, really was. But if I could, I would have gone for 5 lessons. It would have just taken that edge off.
Yeah.
But in theory, if you have no experience, 10 minimum is what people should be doing. But also go with someone that really has referred you to a good, reliable person.
Yeah.
Because this guy then also said to me, as we're on our way back and we're going to do the test, so he says to me, can we stop? Where's your bank? Who you bank with? I'm like, why? He says, no, you need to draw money. So I said, what for? No, you know, these guys want money. So I'm like, listen, I told you up front, I don't bribe. So if he's going to give it to me, he's going to give it. If he's not, he can pretty much stick it somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not bribing. So, and I think this is a problem this is a problem a lot of people are experiencing at the license departments, is firstly, trainers, academies, instructors, whatever you want to call them, want to force you to give some extra money on the side to bribe, to make sure you pass. Don't do it. I refuse to do it. And at the end of the day, they grumpy about it. They don't like it, but they still can't fail you unless it's really
something
worth
failing.
Fail
you about. Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is just the way these guys do things. And they just, the system, look, they're all clamming down on the license departments now.
So you didn't bribe him?
I didn't. I promise you.
Well done.
I refuse. Even traffic cops on the side, I refuse.
Yeah.
Not, you won't even get a sweet out of my hand if I had one.
No, it's not. You're only becoming a part of the problem. You're only adding
to it. You're
just
fueling
it. You're fueling the fire. That's all you're doing. Yeah.
And you're being so selfish if you do that, because you're thinking only of yourself, where there's a whole bigger system here that we need to try and stop.
It's the same with somebody that's going to go and not monitor the intersection ahead of them. You're sitting in busy traffic. If you go and park your car in the middle of that intersection and the traffic light happens to change, okay, and you're stuck in the middle of that intersection, just because you were that greedy, you affected traffic forwards and backwards all around. You know, if you were just, same, if you were tearing up the turn-only lane, wanting to dive in ahead, I mean, we've all seen those instances, just before, because it's a going straight lane and you want to go straight and you're diving in there at the end and you're causing a blockage. No, you're doing two things. One, you're creating more of a problem because you're creating a complacency. And two, you're telling everybody that you believe your time is more important than theirs.
Than everyone else's.
And that is just a total disrespect. Mm. And that, I'm sorry, is not a way that South Africa can go forward. If you don't have respect for each other, we can't grow. Mm. We can't operate as a unit. And that's one of the things that we need
and it's
desperately.
Listen, it's a big problem when people are going for learners and licenses. Mm. It's very daunting, you know, when you go up to a license department. I mean, we've been doing it for so long. I hate going there. And we've been doing it for 20 years with the training and that.
Yeah.
But when you go there, you have 10 people harassing you to want to show you where to go and help you. But at the end of the day, they're going to charge you for it. So they're not even employed by the license department.
They're just trying to make a quick
people
buck.
You must know this. They're not employed by the license department. Do not take help from anyone on your way to the license department. You go to the inquiry desk. That's it. And from there, you make sure they refer you to where you need to go. You take a little piece of paper and your pen, and when they say you go to counter number and get this paper, write it down and go there. Okay? And then if they don't help you, say, but this is what they told me to get. Because they just generally don't care. Everyone wants to tell you LL01, LL03, two different documents, you know. But if you have it written down, they know you're now serious.
Yeah.
And they'll take you to the right counter.
Exactly.
Where if you stand there with this complete, like, feel a second look on your face, you know, like you don't know you don't know what you're doing here, where you're going, they will just add to the fire, add fuel to the fire, make it worse.
Well, we're keen to hear what your thoughts are and what are some of the experiences that you've had. So drop us a line, use the hashtag AutoCentral, and of course you're mentioning AutoTrader SA, and you can also mention us individually at George Mini, at SA Speed Queen, and at Chad Lookoff if you want to address us individually. But other than that, you can also follow AutoTrader on the rest of the social media channels and have your say there. That is, of course, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, the whole works. I think if there's a social media channel out there, we're on it. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I think we're going to talk about regret. Regret is always a good topic. We'll be back right after this.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours. Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com. Auto Central, powered by AutoTrader on CliffCentral.com.
And we're back, Mumford and Sons with the Wolf there. But now we're going to chat a little bit about regret. Okay. Actually, I think we're going to get to regret a little later, because I think we need to do a video review.
Okay.
We didn't have one last week. We had
My regrets in the meantime. Think about your regrets. Else.
Yes, think my about regret. Your regrets and send them in.
But it's not a regret on a partner. It's on your choice of vehicle.
Choice of car. Yes,
not life decisions, car. Just your car decisions.
Yeah. Well, it is have life you, ones these days.
We're going to post the question, okay? And we want you guys to get involved with us. So we're going to post it out on Twitter as well. Use the hashtag AutoCentral. Is there a vehicle that you have purchased that you regret buying? Have you ever made a regrettable car purchase?
Even if it was a one-off dud.
Yeah, even if it was just a complete Friday afternoon.
But you must have a valid reason.
Yeah, well, let's hear it. So getting on the conversation at AutoTraderSA on Twitter and use the hashtag AutoCentral. Like
No, that's not valid.
Yeah, the colors are a little silly. I mean, yeah. And I don't doubt that a lot of this can be put down to just, I know mine was. Let's put it that way. Why don't we get into that? About doing your homework.
Let's get back to that.
Misinformation.
I also need to
wax lyrical about it.
Think a little bit now. Because we don't want to badmouth a manufacturer.
I know mine was my fault. You know, granted, in hindsight, yes, the car just as a whole was not a shining moment for this manufacturer. but yeah, I didn't do my homework.
In a sample of one.
No, there was a sample of many here. So, but we're actually going to chat about the Renault Duster. And that is a car that is quite popular in South Africa and has just received a little bit of a facelift. So we got a chance to review the 2016 Duster 1.5 DCI. It's the Dynamique and it is the 4x4 version. Now, this vehicle comes in at just under 290,000 Rand. Brand new. That it makes it one of the cheapest 4x4s that you can buy. Brand new, out the box, in South Africa.
How much, again?
290,000 Rand.
Are you saying one of the cheapest?
Correct.
In which range?
4x4, four-wheel drive.
Wow, okay. Why cheap?
Well,
what are they skimping on?
They're not necessarily using tons of high-end materials in the interior. Okay,
so the interior comes
across. I am, and the interior does come across a little cheap. They're reusing a good number of parts and that and interior items from other vehicles. And that helps keep the costs down. It is based on, it's a Dacia basically underneath as well. Renault and Dacia, you know, sister companies there. So
I didn't know that.
Yes, absolutely. Dacia Sandero overseas, Renault Sandero here.
Okay.
And it's the same with the Duster. The Duster will be known as the Dacia overseas in foreign markets. Here it's known as the Renault. And I tell you what, it was such a surprising car. For the money, you just... as long as you drive it constantly thinking that this car doesn't even cost 300,000 Rand brand new, with the warranty and everything in place, with 0 kilometers on the clock, you sit there and you say, I'm actually getting a lot of car for my money. We had it with the optional leather interior, which adds a little bit of money to it, but...
What is that extra?
I think it's something like 5 or 6.
That for me is worth it, because...
I'd want leather. I'd want the cloth, no.
Why?
It's not a genuine leather, you know, it's like a vinyl upholstery type thing. But the cloth, part of the facelift is a new interior trimming, so it's got actually a very nice pattern. And in summer, leather's hot and sticky. In winter, it's cold. It doesn't have seat heaters. You know, it's not going to come with a lot of the creature comforts, but it's still actually surprisingly well-specced. Electric mirrors, air conditioning, sat-nav.
Wow. Okay?
So it had a multimedia, touchscreen multimedia interface with navigation under 300,000 Rand. I was like,
that's
what?
That's amazing. 138 of them on Auto Trader, and I'm having a look at the pictures of the interior, and there's a lot of car here.
There's a good amount of car there. Now, the facelifted version is going to look a little different on the outside as well. So instead of your 3 chrome slats on the front bumper or in the grille, you've now only got 2. So it beefs it up a little bit because these slats are now a little bit thicker. They've also made the headlights around black. So these are now ways to differentiate between the two. The roof rails have received a Duster logo on it. Door handles are body colored, and it's got some new alloy wheels. At the back, the rear nameplate, which was always chrome and it had the Duster on this big chrome plaque,
is not anymore.
That's now flat black plastic. And I tell you what, it looks like a, you know, like a wheel arch trimming, you know, that sort of black, yeah, mottled black. And it looks so much more rugged now. It actually looks quite purposeful.
Isn't it amazing how one little feature, one or two of those kind of
small little changes like
can
that.
Just completely change
it. Absolutely changes it. I tell you what, the motor's surprisingly good. Doesn't sound fantastic on paper. 80 kilowatts, 250 newton meters of torque. 250. I had a slip of the finger there. My notes say 2,450, which would give it the thrust of like a 747. But no, it's about 250 newton meters, 250 newton meters there, and more than capable enough. It was mated to a 6-speed gearbox, and because it's got a 6-speed gearbox, the ratios are actually fairly short, and they've kept this in mind.
I was going to ask you now. It was an interesting question by an ordinary car driver that asked me.
What's a not ordinary car driver?
Well, okay, no training experience, experience. So just very
a
basic.
Commuter. Your average consumer.
I want to understand, what is the real difference and reason for 5-speed and 6-speed gearboxes?
A lot of it comes down to ratios. So if you.
Well, if you. You tell me if I'm wrong. If you can get the revs and the ratios right, you can get a lower revving engine at the top gear.
Well, you
on
can
six.
Correct.
On six.
In sixth gear. In sixth gear, it is going to rev a little lower, but that's not to say that they've taken a 5-speed gearbox and just added another gear to it to bring those final revs down. You know, when you're in top gear, they'll actually make each gear a little shorter, and that just means that it's going to live in its torque peak
a lot longer, you know, which means you get two benefits.
Briefer. It's actually shorter, you know, so you'll only be using,
so
let's say, between...
more gears.
You're going to change one more gear, but what's going to happen is you're going to end up keeping it in its torque band, which let's say is between 2,000 and 3,000 RPM. You know, if it was only a 5-speed gearbox, you'd have to drive it all the way up to 3.5 each time.
Because the rev drop is so much.
Yeah, because the rev drop is so much, you know, and you need to... gear's that a little bit longer. So by keeping it in that torque band where it actually makes the most torque,
it's more fuel efficient too.
Motor's more fuel efficient. Okay. It performs better. It's mainly done for efficiency. So that is the benefit.
Yeah, I think that's quite an interesting question.
And I mean, there are gearboxes out there. George, I don't know if your vehicle has it. Vehicles in your manufacturer range has. There's a 9-speed gearbox.
Wow.
In a car?
Yes, in a car. 9-speed.
Manual, auto?
Auto, they'll run with the DCT, so dual clutch system and that.
That's where you hardly realize the car's changing gears.
You hardly realize. But the needle stays almost in the same place. It's just hovering, let's say, 500 RPM.
So give me
RPM.
Some example, which car?
Mercedes-Benz does that well is the Honda Civic.
Yes.
The Honda Civic does that well. You can hardly notice the gear changes.
I actually had a VTEC. Few years ago.
Older VTEC, yeah. I'm talking about the newer ones.
Your iVTEC,
And
your iVTEC is now also no longer geared around performance. It's geared around economy. That's the I for it.
So this Duster, And it's four-wheel drive performance?
Now, you've got selectable drive. So you've got your two-wheel drive, which makes it front-wheel drive. There's an auto, which is pretty good to leave it in, because then it's actually going to detect slip, and it will transfer, you know, as it deems that you need traction.
Yeah.
And you've got a four-wheel drive lock. So if you actually want to go out and hit a proper dirt trail with some climbs in that, you can do it. Four-wheel drive lock, switch traction control off, go for it. Go crazy. Ground clearance, surprisingly good. Approach and departure, also very, very good. You know, so it sits.
Well,
really
I see
high.
It's got the front bumper is very angled on the on the bottom, which means that your approach angle is very good. You can.
I don't have exact numbers, but in a regular path that I usually go and test these vehicles, performing as well, if not better, than some of the double cabs that I've driven.
Oh,
you know, 4x4 double cabs. So it really is disturbingly capable.
So that's overall, incredible. Just the interior that bugs you.
Yeah, some of the plastics are a little cheaper. It's not to say that it's poorly put together. It's just you can feel that, you know, where they could have used a little bit of a leather trim or a cloth trim, it's a hard plastic panel, you know, and it's not everything feels amazing, but it's
worth the money.
It's a hardy car, yeah. I mean, if that's the money and that's what you're needing out of a vehicle, and then, of course, it's covered by a 5-year, 150,000-kilometer warranty, which is quite substantial. 5 years.
150,000.
5 year, 150,000.
See, my problem's the kilometers.
Yeah, because of the mileage you're doing now. But I don't know if it would be for you coming out of a vehicle like the Audi and that. Yeah, coming out of something like the Audi, you're going to be looking for a little more. But if you are generally running with a smallish city runabout, if you're using a city car and you want to upgrade to an SUV, Duster's a good place to start, especially if you're doing some off-road bashing.
Does the back of this car carry an extra 2 seats?
It's not a 7-seater.
Not.
No, it's a 5-seater.
It looks like, from the outside, it almost looks like it could fit another 2 seats in the back.
It looks like it could fit. No. Yeah. Now, it's just got more than enough sort of load space. So, yeah, really very versatile, very suitable to, you know, anybody that's got a bit of an active lifestyle. It's not going to win necessarily an off-road challenge, but you're going to have fun going out and beating around the bush and exploring a road that you haven't before. So that's Renault Duster. The video is up on the Auto Trader YouTube channel, and you can also go and find that video on Auto Trader SA. That's autotrader.co.za.
I just want to ask something on that before you close off with the Renault. It's always had boring colors for me. Is it still?
They're nothing over the top, you know, so you're not going to get bright reds and oranges and that sort of stuff. But I had it in what they call olive gray. Now, it's more olive than gray. It looked military. It was like brilliant. Yeah. It was like this.
Oh, really?
Almost this camouflage green. And I just thought, wow, with the black trimmings now with the headlights and the tailpiece and the slightly darker wheels, like sort of anthracite sort of color wheels, I was like, this actually looks purposeful. This looks like a serious sort of rugged, manly machine.
Because they've used a very funny orange thing in the past.
Yes, they
I don't
have.
Know what
yeah,
you can
yeah.
call it.
You're very burnt and almost in
yes.
its approach.
And now this weird funny olive color. So they've got strange colors.
They do
in
have
my
some
opinion.
Style. Yeah, they do.
But this one, then I'll have a look. Did you test this one, the olive color?
Yeah, the olive. Okay. Yeah, the olive gray. And the video's out there. I didn't even bother when we shot the video. I didn't even bother washing it.
Oh,
you know, we took
maybe
it off
that's
road.
Why Vilmarie. You don't have to bother washing
wash it.
The car.
No, we took it off road and we sat there and we said, okay, well, we got it in position where we want to film it. We now need to clean the car because it took us a little bit of a dirt drive to get to where we were filming it. And we said, you know, it got dirty in the process. And we're like, no, actually. And it was raining at the time.
Yeah.
And we thought, I don't think it could be any better because this vehicle needs to be covered in mud and dirt. Not because it's unattractive. It's just because it's that purposeful. It's one of those that you're not going to wash it for 2 or 3 days after a mud excursion. Because you want a bread. No, you don't need the layer of dust on top. You want the mud on the side.
Well, mine's getting washed today for the first time in 4 weeks.
Wow, and you admitted that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, moving things along, let's hear about your regrettable car purchases as well. Because we're going to move on. We're going to do the last couple of minutes here with regrettable car purchases.
Well, I'll go first.
George, what did you buy?
Absolutely no fault of BMWs. But
so it's the driver.
Starts with those magic three letters.
I had a BMW 325 old, what was it,
Dolphin
box.
Shape?
No, the one before that.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about E30.
Yeah, E30 shape. And the gearbox kept breaking. It just left me standing more times than I'd like. But it's probably because I used to wheel spin the car too much. So,
if I may inquire, if you don't mind, I mean, we're not going to say that whether you bought it. It was a second-hand purchase.
New or second-hand? Yes.
No, it was second-hand. Okay, no, I don't know what the previous guy, you know,
did the same thing, yeah, probably. But exactly. That's the...
But you know, and I think a lot of regrets are because of those sorts of things.
Yeah.
What the previous person took the car through or how they treated the car.
May I ask how old you were when you bought this car?
Your early 20s.
Early 20s. Yeah. So still quite
so you paid an insurance amount.
Young and impressionable.
Yeah, well, it wasn't my favorite car. And I've had a BMW since. So it's not like it's BMW.
How long did you have it,
I must have had the car for about 2 years. And then I sold it.
And sold it. Yeah. Sold it in a running condition or with the gearbox?
Yeah, no. It was fixed. Every time it broke, it fixed. It was the same. It wasn't actually, you know, it wasn't always the gearbox. It was often the prop shaft coupling.
Okay. No. But that's an E30 thing. It is one of those common faults that does happen. Actually known as a Guibo coupling.
Yes. Yes.
It's a rubber coupling in between.
But
between the two flanges.
What happens if you don't fix that coupling? It starts wearing
the center bearing.
Yeah, of the gearbox.
Yeah.
Exactly, So the gearbox starts giving trouble because you've got this prop shaft issue. So it left me standing a couple of times.
Fulmini, what did you have?
Well, I actually have on the bike and the car side, but I haven't made it. I've only made one mistake on the bike side, but you know what? Like anything, if you know the models in that well, I think same with the cars, you know which ones to avoid, because you just sometimes get that 2007 or 2008 don't go there gearbox problems, you know, or clutch problems or whatever. So I made one mistake with a ZX6 one year, but okay. I mean, they have, I'm talking many years ago. I can't even remember the year
Suzuki,
model.
Yeah?
No, Kawasaki.
Kawasaki.
But they all have had their things, let me tell you. Yeah. Yamaha, all of them. One year, somewhere along the line, there's some problem.
Yeah,
I mean, now do you know about the new R1 that they had to take back now?
No.
Gearbox.
Really?
A gearbox problem now. Ooh. Yeah, that they fixed. I couldn't get to test it because... Exactly. So, and they still haven't given... I don't know why they don't want to give it now. I hope they fixed the problem, but they've had to recall.
Oh, wow.
So what I'm saying is it happens, but these days they're quick and good to fix, you know, they pull them back, fix what needs to be fixed. But in our country, like with Yamaha, for example, they have someone internal here working full time, personally fixes each one. So he's an expert that goes across the world now, obviously to Yamaha. So he knows what to do. But many years ago, ZX6, don't remember the year model, gearbox problems.
Is it secondhand?
Now, I have to say with yes, and also, you know, we also, again, it's probably driver-rider stuff too, you know, lots of it too. Sometimes you just get it like
I mean, what messes up a gearbox in a motorbike? Too much, you know, one-wheel riding or burnouts?
No, gearbox, it's a linkage problem. So you could have just a weak, the linkage that goes into the gearbox is not strong enough, for example. And that's happened a lot.
Maybe dropped?
That can happen too, or people sometimes just don't change gears. They kick the gears down and up, you know, that kind of thing too.
Quite abusive with it and overextending levers and that.
Yeah, and if you do in racing form, like a lot of things can take more strain than what you would on road bikes. So that's why I say it could also be putting it through extreme measures, you know. But that's why, once again, we get back to racing is very good for this kind of thing because that's where they really strengthen. And they have. ZX10, R1, all those guys have managed to fix those kind of problems over the years.
It's a testing ground for, you know, little idiosyncrasies and faults.
Annoying little things that go wrong on the road, they fix in the racing for sure.
And in the car side of things?
I'm going to have to also say BM.
Really?
Sorry, but I had a 323i, which is now probably nothing exciting, but back then it was fabulous. And I saw never a BM again after that, which I'm sorry to say, but I actually do still love them. I think they're great. But this one was just something with the engine. No one could fix it. There was some problem where it would just miss every now and then.
I know the 3 Series BMWs had that hunting problem. There was one part that had to be replaced at that time. It had a hunting problem.
It
once they'd replaced that part, it was fine.
Also
it was the most annoying.
What, yarn on the age of the vehicle and which model. You know, the 36s, I think they said they still had the airflow meter.
I'm talking about the E30.
Yeah, the E30 also had the same. It had that track on the airflow meter.
It was part of the airflow meter that caused the problem.
Yeah. I had an 08.
Then yours would have been an E90. That's a lot more electronical, you know,
exactly.
than a mechanical part. It was still a mechanical part. It was
in
E30,
I took it everywhere. They couldn't fix it. They couldn't get the problem. And be it also like this, when I'm driving it, it's there. When I take it to them, it's not.
It's that washing machine that stops leaking as soon as the repairman walks in the door.
So whatever the case might be, I was so annoyed with this car. I couldn't wait to sell it.
Mm. What was yours, Chad?
I actually still have it.
Oh?
Yeah. I still have it.
Please tell me it's a classic car.
No. No. I foolishly bought a Jaguar X-Type.
Ah. Mm. Oh, wow.
So at the time I was looking, and I was looking possibly a small C-Class Merc or a 3 Series BMW, something of the sorts. I was doing a lot of mileage. I was silly amounts of mileage. I was constantly working, and I said, well, you know, if I'm going to work this much, I might as well enjoy the traveling that I'm doing for work, you know, so I need something.
You just justify that.
I was justifying it, and I put a nice limit on it, and I said, well, driving the Mazda MX-6, I'm looking for something that is larger than the 2.5 litre V6 that the Mazda's got, or equal to. So it was a BMW 325 3 Series, or maybe like a C200 compressor, something of the sorts. Similar sort of power, but it needs to have the mod cons that I'm accustomed to, and just be a little bit newer.
Yeah.
And as it happened, and I've always liked the shape of the Jaguar X-Type. I've always thought it has a classic but a sporty look to it. And I managed to find a 3-litre Sport. And the 3-litre Sport is all-wheel drive. So I was like, okay, well, this is one better. Okay, so 3-litre V6. It's the same motor that, believe it or not, is used in the, or similar motor that's used in the Noble M400. But the Noble M400 has two turbochargers on it and is mid-mounted, you know. So there's a little bit of pedigree to it, yeah. And I did my bit of research, and this V6 motor also is used in the Mondeo ST220.
Yeah.
And that should have set the alarm bells going. Okay, was the Ford Mondeo connection, because only later did I find out that essentially that is just a Ford Mondeo in a pretty skirt.
Oh, wow.
I still have it, and I haven't seen it in over 2 years.
You haven't seen it? Where is it?
Wait. It ate its gearbox.
Oh, no.
This Jaguar ate its gearbox, and unfortunately at the time I had to send it via to somebody repairing it. And they just kept on getting the wrong gearbox. They kept on getting a front-wheel drive gearbox. Car's all-wheel drive. It needs an all-wheel drive gearbox. And, so I've been chasing them. The job's been paid for, and I really, really regret Jaguar X-Type 3-litre, yeah. Hmm. And it has been the bane of my existence for the last 5 years, and I just want out of it, but I can't get out of it because I don't know.
It doesn't drive.
It doesn't drive.
Yeah.
So it's...
But, and you can't stay with mom anymore.
I pay the insurance every month. I'm still paying the insurance on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because just in case there's a fire at the workshop or something of the sorts, it needs to be covered.
Yeah.
Now there's grudge purchases for you. That's not just medical.
Oh, that's a big one.
That is terrible. Yeah. I've paid it off. I own it now.
What color is it?
It's black.
I thought
without the chrome, it's got the full, no, it's got the full sport British Racing green. I would have loved it in British Racing green. Still a nice car, but I won't buy one again. In any case, folks, let's hear your purchases, your regrettable purchases. Yep. That's the one, but no chrome in it. Mine was all black. Black on black.
But it's quite a hot little car.
Oh, it's a nice car. It's a lovely car.
They look very nice.
And that's why I pulled the trigger on it, but I didn't do my homework. Let's hear what you regret purchasing. Get a hold of us on Autotrader at AutotraderSA. Let's put that right there. And use the hashtag AutoCentral. But that's all we got for you this week. We'll be back next week with some more AutoCentral from myself, Chad Lukoff.
SA Speed Queen.
At George Meany.
We want to wish you guys safe travels. Enjoy, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.